Thank you, Jesse Carr, for that really nice introduction. Forgot to mention how handsome I am, but that's okay. Thank you, Steve, for allowing me to share the word today. And it's been a privilege to prepare for it, pray for it, and to be up here is amazing. I've never done a teaching like this and at an event like this, so it's a tremendous, tremendous blessing. So today, I'm going to share on deliverance by the spoken word. Deliverance by the spoken word. I have 30 minutes. God has built this probably 1,000 years, and I'll do it in 30 minutes. But let's go to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. I want to set a tone here before we get into some examples of deliverance by the spoken word. And I think that it's a needed reminder sometimes on how we approach God and his word and the attitude that we should build in our heart towards God's word, right? And some of the verses that I thought about in Psalms 33, it says in verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." You know, God said it, and it's done. And there's tremendous integrity in that. Because if we're going to believe in something, and if we're going to make it a standard of our life, we have to make sure that it's the truth. And here, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. This is our God, creators of the heavens of the earth. So when we approach God's word, and we want to see some deliverance by the spoken word, we got to step back and remind ourselves, wow, this is our God, a God who just speaks it, and it is. Proverbs 30, verse 5, you don't have to go there, but it says, every word of God is pure. Pure. Every word of God is pure. This is the word that we have, a pure word, no blemish at all. That's awesome. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And God is worthy, certainly, of our trust. You know, Nick shares so beautifully the greatest deliverance that's made available to us. And certainly, God is worthy of our trust for what he's done for us because of what his son's accomplished. So every word of God is pure. We have a pure word. We have a word that we can go to that will not fail us, ever, because it's pure. Nick shared John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God's word is true. It's true. Now, do we believe that or do we don't? We have an opportunity to not believe it, but we also have an opportunity to believe it. And when we believe that the word is true, that the word of God is pure, man, we have something that we have tremendous that we can walk out on, right? Also, to set this tone here, what the word is as we approach that attitude that we should have, you know, to set that tone is for the word of God in Hebrews chapter 4. You don't have to go there because we got some examples that we need to get to. I'm just going to set this tone real quick. But the word of God is quick. It's powerful. God's word is powerful. We have a word that's powerful. We can do some really tremendous things because we have Holy Spirit. We can perform supernatural things. We can speak in tongues. That's pretty cool, right? When Jesse mentioned he was at my first fellowship ever, and Lance taught on peace. And I've been kind of been attempted, people try to trick me to go into fellowship at that time in Jersey City. I'd never been. But when I made a decision to go in Jersey City, Lance taught on peace. And Jesse was there, Christy Nafee was there, my wife was there, which I'd never met before. So thank you forever tricked me to go to fellowship that night. I think it was Christy, right? Yes, it was Christy. Thank you, Christy. We were dating at that time too. Weird. Love you. And man, when after that fellowship, something changed, something clicked, and it wasn't because of the trimmings or really not much of the people. It was the word. It was the word. There was healing there for me that I've never experienced before. It was a word that Lance had taught, God's word, where it helped me to make a decision to, I don't know, put God in my life and do my best, right? Because that's all that God can really ask for from us is our best. Everything, our heart, right? But there was healing in that. because the word was powerful that night, I guess, right? It was a pure word that I heard, and the words that we have heard already today, what Nick shared. You know, there's opportunity even right now as Jesse opened up this great day. You know, as we sit here and we hear God's word, you know, I'm sure that, even including myself, there are needs here right now in this room. You know, we're human and we go through stuff. It's not fair. The world is crappy out there and we're subjected to a lot of stuff that's not good. And I'm sure there's needs right now in this very room. And there could be healing in that today. Right now, there could be deliverance just by hearing the word of God. So keep that in mind, right? So let's go to some examples about deliverance by the spoken word. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And I really love that word he shared, deliverance, where Nick shared on escape, right? How beautiful is that? That we have escaped. You know, we're set apart. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to get into some examples in the Gospels and maybe Acts and see what was the result of the spoken word. What was the attitude? What was the approach? The believing. And there's no better than Jesus Christ, I think, as he always did the will of the Father. He always walked with God. And we can do that too. All the stuff that we read in the Gospels, all the tremendous things that have happened, you know, in Acts or in Matthew or even in the Old Testament, we get to see those things happen right now. We can. We really can. And there's great deliverance that we're going to read about today. Matthew chapter 8 and verse, let's see here. Let's start with verse 5. All right. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come unto my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word. I kind of think that this servant, going through all this torment and whatever, grievously tormented, sick of the palsy, kind of had it pretty good in two ways, right? Jesus Christ is like, let me come. And you know what's going to happen if he did go, right? But then his boss steps in and says, no, no, no. Speak the word only. Speak the word only, right? And he did. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. It's pretty cool, right?
Yep.
And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Ministered unto them. She took care of them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Wow. Many. Many that were possessed with devils. Imagine what that waiting room would look like, right? Crazy. Just crazy people, you know? But look at this. And he cast out the spirits with his charm, and healed all that were sick. Does it say that?
No.
Nope. What does it say?
With his word.
With his word. With his word. Pretty crazy. With his word. Deliverance by the spoken word, you know, doesn't come by our five senses. You know, it doesn't come by how intelligent we are or how our mind-blowing experiences are. You know, it comes by believing the word. And the word that we have the opportunity to believe, we can speak. And when we speak God's word, there's power in that. There's deliverance in that. There's healing in that. Imagine that, right? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You know, it doesn't come by our five senses, man. If you do see healing by that, that's coming from something else. You know, it's not by God. But we get to believe God's word. Believe God's word, man. And we get to speak it. And there's power in that. There's healing in that. Isn't that tremendous? And there could be healing just by listening to it. Michael Gilmore once told me, you know, like, just listening to God's word is healing. Just that in itself. Man. And that's certainly true, I believe. Luke chapter 9, in verse 1, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." Well, that's pretty cool. All right. Have you ever had a job where, like, you're supposed to do something to make money and feed your family and your kids and pay your rent, but your boss doesn't give you the tools to do it? Story of my life, all right? Yeah, I work for a bank. They're terrible, you know? But that's not our God, you know? The greatest deliverance that Nick shared comes with a lot of tools. It comes with a lot of tools. And we lack nothing at all because who we are now, because what Jesus Christ accomplished. We have the tools to do some really amazing things. And then obviously there's not enough time to cover all of them, you know, but one of the tools we have is that we have a mouth, right? We have Holy Spirit. We can speak God's word. And then maybe we can see a little bit of deliverance in people's lives and see that great deliverance, the greatest deliverance that Nick shared. And then God then has another opportunity to bless somebody, his kid, another opportunity to take care of him, to nurture that child, you know, like us. And verse 1 again. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." Those are some pretty cool tools. "And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick," to heal the sick. "And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Healing everywhere. Wow. And what's the tool? They only use really one tool, the word. You know, the word. They use the word. That's all. You know. Verse 7, "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded thee, but who is this, of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them, and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing." Well, that's pretty cool too, I guess. See, we got to go where the need is. You know, if we really want to do this thing, you know, being a believer, the responsibility of a believer is to do what?
Believe.
Believe, right? And as we believe God's word, there's opportunity out there. You know, we got to go where the need is. And that's pretty easy because all you have to do is just open up your front door and bam, what's out there? It's called the world. There, you know, you start there, you know. You start there. The world's full of need, and it needs the spoken word. It needs the spoken word. There's hunger out there. There's needs out there. There are people that have no answer, have no hope. But we have the answers, right? And we can share the great hope. Imagine that. 3 John chapter 1. So let's go where the need is, and let's believe God's word so that we can help people with the spoken word. 3 John chapter 1. In verse 2 it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." You know, Nobody's more concerned about our well-being than God. Nobody's more concerned about how we walk day to day but God. God cares about us. We are solely invested in him, you know, or he is solely invested in us, right? And God's going to work with us. God's going to guide us. God's going to show us as we, you know, live this life of believing God's word, being fully persuaded without doubt, without fear, that we can speak the word boldly. Because God's trying to raise a family. That's what he's doing right now. And we get to help him with that. It's our responsibility, not even angels. You know? Not even angels, it says in the word. We bear that amazing responsibility, that privilege, that we can help God raise a family. And look at the family that we have here now. It's amazing. Amazing. You know. Acts 16. One of my favorite records here. We get to see a few things here in Acts 16. And like Nick shared, man, we're here just to share a simple, practical topic, you know, and to know that deliverance itself is a practical thing for a believer to practice and to believe, to know that's available is awesome. It is a practical thing. It's not complicated at all. There's no confusion in this. God didn't set that in his word for us to be confused about it or to work for it. You know, deliverance is practical, it's available, and just done by believing and speaking the word, man. Acts, and let God, you know, taking care of the rest. Let him do the work, right? Acts, verse 16. In verse, let's see here, 16 we'll start. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So she was a fortune teller, right? And she was making a lot of dough for these two dudes. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved or sorrowed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You know? All you had to do was just speak the word, man. You know, with believing. And look at that deliverance right there. 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of her gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them unto the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So here they are being accused, right? And verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Well, that doesn't sound very fair, right? Ever been to prison before? Actually, don't answer that, okay? Sorry. You never know. Right? We don't want to know. Right? Well, I've been to prison before. Well, I wasn't, you know, convicted of a crime. Well, holding cell doesn't count, right? But, you know, we went on some school experiment when I was in high school, and we got a chance to visit Rahway Prison, which is a state prison, right? I think it's state, right? Yeah, right off of Route 12, I think. No, Turnpike, exit. Yeah, 9, right. 9 or 8 or something like that. So, man, I was around rapists, murderers, killers, lifers. I was in a room full of 40 lifers, a small room, you know. And I was like, man, oh, this is crazy. You know, and then we got an opportunity to sit in their cells, which I was blown away, because murderers, rapists, killers, you name it, they were there, and I'm sitting in their cell, and it's like blowing my mind, because it's like there's like DVD players, there's like TVs, soft towels, there's like stainless steel toilets. It's like these guys are living the dream here, you know? And my mind, when I read this, because it's important to like build a picture, you know, in your brain when you're reading God's word, because it's God's word, you know what I mean? When I think of a prison, and I'm thinking of where these guys are being casted into, I think of like you ever see the movie The Count of Monte Cristo? Yeah, yeah. And the guy who played Passion of the Christ? I'm talking about that kind of prison, where it's like in the dungeon, and it's dark, the walls are like always wet for some reason, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, the beds, a few straws of hay. You know, that's what comes to my mind, right? Those kind of conditions. And we get to see how these guys respond, right? 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So really, I kind of think that this is jumping pretty quickly. You know, they were accused, they were beaten, thrown in jail, stocks, right? And at midnight, Paul and Silas whined and bitched and moaned. Is that what it says? No. It doesn't make logical sense to me because, I don't know, my brain kind of shuts down sometimes, but if I was in that situation, I don't know if I could respond like that, right? Their response was they prayed, and they sang really loud, so loud that and the prisoners heard them. You know, something was brewing in their heart, and it wasn't fear, you know. I tell you that in verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper, put a picture to this, right? Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I mean, this guy didn't even check, you know? This guy didn't even check. He's ready to take his own life because his sole responsibility, it says it, he was charged this. He was charged to make sure that these guys were incarcerated, that these guys would not escape. And when he saw what he saw, you know, the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. The keeper of the prison woke from his sleep, saw the doors open. He's like, oh, well, I have one responsibility and I fail. I'm going to take my life, right? Kind of dramatic, I think. But Paul, 28, cried out with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we're here. Relax, we're here. Not the most logical escape plan, I think. You know, and that's the other thing I was trying to build in this picture in my head. You were in stocks, you were beaten, right?
Yeah.
Man, you're in a bad situation. And then the earth shakes for you. You know, that's how I see it. The earth shook for them. Were the doors open? You know, their stocks fell off. And you see the guy, the prison guard, who's supposed to keep you there, almost take his life. And Paul and Silas said, yeah, we're here. Don't do that. Relax. Doesn't make sense to me. But man, the heart, right? In verse 30, it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what do I got to do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think they texted that to him? Or do you think they spoke that to him face to face, eye to eye, right? It says, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, and your house. A little extra, right? That's awesome. And they spake, verse 32, they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. You see, they took time. They took the time, you know. They knew that it was worth it. It was a walk with God, too. I mean, we got to walk with God when we're doing this stuff. We got to walk with God. And their walk was their walk right here, you know. They took the time. Prayer is the goal, you know, not efficiency. You know, things, it's important to be efficient. It's important to be accurate. But sometimes what could be important is just taking the time, you know, walking with God. Maybe the goal is prayer. Maybe the goal is the love of God or walking with God and asking with patience what to do in a situation. Maybe that's the goal. It's a walk with God, you know. And in this particular situation, they took the time to save this man's life, to give him the greatest deliverance that he could ever have, as Nick beautifully shared. He offered this man the greatest deliverance by the spoken word, right? And he took this time. Are we willing to put in the time, you know? Are we willing to put in the time? And are we willing to, and whatever version it can be, you know, I mean, our time is precious, I get it, but are we willing to take the time? Is it going to cost us our time to offer the greatest deliverance ever, or just to speak God's word, to help them, to encourage them, to bless them, to edify them, whoever it may be, whatever the need may be, wherever the need is. Are we willing to put our time in, or maybe some of our money, or some of our sleep, or our heart, or whatever it is, things that we have to sacrifice? Are we willing to put our time into it, our heart? These guys did. Verse 32 again, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Wow. Beautiful, right? So a lot of things that happened here in this record. But it's the deliverance of the spoken word here is what we're focusing on, obviously. You know, our responsibility, I once heard, is not to make people happy. Our responsibility is to help people believe the word. We want to make people happy? Well, I don't know. Buy them something, I guess, right? Give them a massage or a sloppy old kiss will help too. That'll make them happy. Whatever, you know. But our responsibility is not that, for the first and foremost. It's our responsibility is to help people believe God and so that they can see a deliverance, so that they can themselves believe God's word in their own walk, so they can share that word out there with where the need is and build this family, right? James chapter 5. You know, like, this stuff you guys are amazing at already. You really are. This is no news. And if it is, well, it's a special treat then for you. But I see most of you, I think I know most of you here, and I get to see and witness your lives, you know, helping people, setting up, blessing people, sharing the word with each other. You know, this is no news to us. This is just a lifestyle, the lifestyle of a believer. And you guys are amazing at this. James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, also, as we sit here together as a family, you know, we really don't have all the answers. We have the answer, you know, but we don't have all the answer, you know. God's word is the answer. And we need to share God's word with each other, too. You know, we can't do it, alone for the most part. We need each other. You know, and we need to share that spoken word with each other. You know, we need to build each other up, lift each other up. You know, it says that we're supposed to be really nice to each other, especially with the household of faith, right? We are the best. We are the best. We are God's best. And the spoken word needs to be spoken with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we're human. Whether we've been a believer coming to fellowship for 2 years or 50 years, every day is an opportunity to step up with our believing, you know, and manifesting it by speaking his word boldly so that we can bring deliverance to people and to each other in the body of Christ. Pretty simple, right? Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 29, the word says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, so we have a word that we can share with people. We have a word that we should share with each other because it's edifying, and that we can minister grace unto the hearers. Grace. Grace. Nick mentioned that. It's by grace, man, that we have this amazing life that we have with God. It's by grace. So the things that come out of our mouth, are they edifying people? Is it blessing somebody? Is it ministering grace to the hearers? You know, it should. Because if it's the word of God that we're believing and it's the word of God that we're speaking, then we are edifying and then we are ministering grace to the hearers. 1 John chapter 1. First John, chapter 1, In verse 3 it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." You know, it's that fellowship, that full sharing. We need to have that full sharing, you know, with each other. "And truly our fellowship is with God." You know, we're in pretty good standing in God, with God. Our standing will never change. Our state changes from time to time, I think. Well, for me it does, or minute to minute. You know, what we think, we have to continue to renew our mind. It's work. That is work. Dr. Werrell used to call it the battlefield of the mind. You know, that does take a little work, you know. And we can get there, you know, if we fight for it and we replace our thoughts with God's word. And we have God's word in our heart, you know, it's going to come out of our mouth. Because that's what we're going to live, you know. And that's what we're going to speak. And our fellowship is with God. We're good with God. We have to keep that a reminder in our brains that we are well with God. It's all done, like Nick shared. Let's give a little bit of opportunity out there for people who have need to experience the same thing. You know, it's the greatest gift that you can give somebody, the greatest deliverance that you can give somebody by speaking the word to them. Is it not? Look where we are today, right? The world is running amok out there, man. It is a bad place, specifically now. And yet we have peace. It's bad out there, Lance. Lance knows, you know. Me and Nada, Lance, back in the day, we used to speak God's word, go witnessing in Jersey City off Kennedy Boulevard. And crack addicts were our audience for the most part, you know. And it was fun, you know, because it was Christ in us, like it's Christ in you. And when we step up to the plate boldly, and we just don't care, we just speak God's word, there's going to be some incredible things that can happen and will happen. Psalms 107. I am a product of that. So are you. You know, I wasn't raised in God's word, and many of you are not, I think, that I can tell. And that's great, because when I first got into the word, all the people or the kids that were my age were already raised in the word by their amazing parents, you know. And to see a lot of you here and how you grew in the word or how you got into the word, it just blesses me so much, you know. But I'm a product of this spoken word of that deliverance, you know. And these guys, if it wasn't for Christy or Lance, Jill Sernardo, I wouldn't be here, honestly, you know. It took their time, you know, it took their heart, and they believed in me. Who knew? And now I get to sit in front of this silly thing and share the word with you guys. It's awesome. Psalm 107, let's see here, in verse 20, this is a beauty. He sent his what?
Word
and healed them. And deliver them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them. He didn't send his ideas, you know. He didn't send his own intellectual thoughts. He sent his word and healed them. It's the word that heals. And it delivered them from their destruction. We have been delivered from our destruction. Romans 10:9-10, baby. Done. You can do whatever you want for the rest of your life after you believe that verse. You're still going to heaven. But the exciting part about being a believer, once we've experienced the greatest deliverance that we can ever had, as Nick shared again, you know, that's when life really begins. That's when life should be more exciting than ever before. It really should be. Dr. World used to say, life is a journey as we believe God's word, you know. We are what we are today because of our believing. We will be tomorrow where our believing takes us. So let our believing take us where the heart of human need is, so that people can have deliverance by the spoken word. I think that was 30 minutes exactly.